This is the Jeff Budke Podcast, covering your Northwest teams and sports around the Western Hemisphere.
Classic move. How can I really screw the Clippers before I leave? I'm going to give Del Negro an extension.
Oh, this is good. This is good podcast stuff.
Was picture perfect.
I'm leaving that in there. I'm not cutting that out.
Should I just keep going?
Then? Yeah, keep going.
Okay.
I won the PBR challenge for us, remember?
I do remember that. You beat the pregnant woman.
But, I mean, how else can we replace Prince Bill F?
Kirk Heinrich's back.
Oh, they got the Teague kid from Kentucky.
Oh, yeah. Why aren't we reading Nate Robinson out loud?
Welcome to the pod, everyone. My name is Jeff Budke. It was a glorious weekend of college football, and we thought we couldn't get enough. And so I decided to bring in a good friend of mine, Jeff Mason. Brother Hefe, thank you for being on the show.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be here with Bud Light.
This reminds me of the good Get Treff days.
Yes.
What was that, three years ago? 4 years ago?
Yes, and we would always call you Bud Light.
Bud Light.
The hostess with the most drinkability. I guess it would be host because you're not a female. But
well, host
the
most.
Drinkability because that was the advertisement at the time.
Your show was half movies, half sports, and it was just a great combination, a lot of a cult following, you could say.
Yes.
Really quick, before we get
that
into college.
That cult was our mothers.
Our moms listened a lot. George Lucas sold Disney. Or, I'm sorry, sold Star Wars to Disney. Do you want to rant on this? Do you have any opening thoughts?
Well, my thought was that if I ever had something where I owned 100% of it and I sold it for $4 billion... I would have to get a pool, fill it with Benjamins, and swim in it every single day of my life.
So you're giving George Lucas the win?
Yes. I think he's ready to retire. He no longer needs to be hated by everybody for everybody evaluating and micromanaging every little decision he makes, mm-hmm. even though some are truly horrible. But I think he can step away from Star Wars, from Indiana Jones, and be happy with the franchises that he created. And I think that I'm glad to see Disney buy it because it means there's going to be some more Indiana Jones films, some more Star Wars films, and I always think those are fun, and I just hope Disney knows what they're doing.
Will you be their midnight showing of Episode 7?
I'm getting up there in age.
Yeah, so the midnight showings are...
Midnight showing is...
As a man who's been to Nicolas Cage at midnight multiple times...
Yes.
Maybe it's time. All right, let's move into the heart of the matter. Let's move into college football. I know the thing that everyone wants to talk about is Michigan State's win on Saturday over a just balmy Wisconsin. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. That was good for you guys to get over 500, though. A Sparty
yes,
fan over
it
here.
It was nice that we finally got a touchdown in the 59th minute of the game. And then that ended a drought of, well, I guess we did score a touchdown against Michigan as well. So we're keeping to our average, which is good to
is
see.
Is that one a game? Is that
and,
where you guys are going?
And with? I don't know if this counts because it was overtime, but we actually scored a touchdown in two straight possessions, which may have been the first time all year that accomplishment.
5-4. The bowl eligibility. It may happen.
Yes. It's always fun that we're discussing bowl eligibility when we came into the year thinking that this would be in a drought for Michigan State because they have not been to a Rose Bowl in my lifetime. The last time they were in the Rose Bowl was 1988, and I wasn't born until July. So still waiting to see Michigan State.
You were 6 months too late.
Yep. And it's always nice to get a win against Wisconsin because we would have been in the Rose Bowl last year if he didn't flop. So it's always good. I will be at the game this week against Nebraska.
Oh, fun.
And I'm glad that I spent the money on that because it turned out to be a great decision.
Good. Well, this weekend, besides the Michigan State-Nebraska game, is full of a couple just key matchups. Let's dive in right away. Number 1, Alabama. Number 5, LSU. It's in Baton Rouge. LSU beat Alabama last year in Alabama. Does LSU have a chance this year, or was last year an anomaly? Was last year something in the regular season that they can't duplicate, as we saw in the national championship game?
Well, I think to say that LSU does not have a chance would be a pretty strong statement.
For the top 5 team in the country.
Yes, they're still a top 5 team.
Okay.
They've lost one game to Florida. And I think they are outmatched in this game because their strengths are really as also Alabama's strengths, and Alabama's just better mm-hmm. at defense and running the ball to this point. But if LSU can get some turnovers, if they can contain A.J. McCarron and I know he has, I believe, 17 touchdowns, zero interceptions. So it'll be hard to get him to throw interceptions.
That's pretty good.
But if you control, they have a strong defensive line. So if they can control the run game, make A.J. McCarron throw the ball more than he's comfortable with, they might have a chance to get a turnover or two. Maybe I know they lost the Honey Badger, so they're not going to have that spark they've had in the special teams last year. But they're going to really need that if they want to pull off this one. I just don't see it happening.
Something with Alabama that I noticed in the Mississippi State game, which I believe they won 38-0. I think that was the final score. The smallest Alabama offensive lineman is 305 pounds. And as good as Trent Richardson was, as good as Mark Ingram was, they have their offensive line is built and just so strong. And I just see them getting off the line. If LSU is strong enough to contain that, to force A.J. McCarron to throw more than he likes, that's something there. There's something there for that defense to create opportunities. I know McCarron, you just said, doesn't have an interception this year. This would be the game that it has to happen.
Yes, and the one thing that LSU has going for it is they've played a stronger schedule to this point. They played Florida, even though they lost. They played South Carolina while Marcus Lattimore was still playing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've had more adversity. So if they can keep it close, hang around in the fourth quarter, maybe Alabama gets pressured, and not having been in that situation this year, not even in the championship game last year because they blew out LSU. But if you can keep, if they can stay in it, they'll have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think LSU's quarterback has to play. I'm spacing on his name right now, and I apologize, but he needs to play a flawless game, something I haven't seen from him. Florida made him look very frazzled. He hasn't looked good in some of the mediocre games they've played, mediocre teams they've played against. He needs to be perfect.
Yes, I think they need to limit the amount he throws.
Mm-hmm,
even though Alabama does have a strong defense, if they can pound it down the middle, because Alabama's linebackers will contain the edges. They have so much speed and strength. They would have to just run it straight down the middle, hope that they're able to do so. Limit the amount the quarterback has to throw, because for every good pass he throws, one or two duds.
Absolutely.
So I think they're outmatched, but they'll have a chance.
For those of us out there, I include myself in this, that would like the SEC to not be in the title game, we'll be cheering for LSU this weekend. Let's move on to across the country, down to Los Angeles, where USC plays host to Oregon. For the first time in over 20 years, USC is a 7-point dog at home, which means Vegas has Oregon winning by 7. And I'm a little biased here. USC coming off a loss to Arizona in which their defense looked miserable. Oregon scored 70 points last week. Does USC have a chance in this game?
I personally, as many people know, I'm not the biggest Oregon fan generally, but I think this team might be the best they've had so far. I think they're playing defense at a higher level than they have in years past. I think they finally have the perfect quarterback for Chip Kelly's system, and mm-hmm. he's making all the right reads, even more so than they have had in previous years. And with their running backs, it's just like plug and play. They just got someone with incredible speed. They utilize that to find mismatches, and they just run over teams or run through teams, run past teams. They do a lot of things that it's just impressive to find that no one's been able to contain that to this point.
Quarterback Marcus Mariota, who looked like a freshman when the season started, making some mistakes, has really honed that in. He's not throwing picks. He's not fumbling the ball anymore. It took him a few games. This is only his third road start of his career, and playing in the Coliseum is going to be hard, but I just don't know if this offense can be contained when Arizona ran train on that USC defense.
Yes, and this USC team is not what we thought they would be mm-hmm. coming into the year. They struggled early against Syracuse. They have a loss against Arizona. They have a loss against
Stanford.
They've been shown that if a team comes in, punches them in the mouth, they have not responded well. I know, the question is, what are the teams playing for? You think Oregon has to be incredibly motivated, knowing that Notre Dame is, mm-hmm. I believe, ahead of them.
They are.
Even though they are a completely crappy team. I mean, not this year, but in the past. I just don't understand how Oregon's not respected, having won the Rose Bowl last year, being in the championship game 2 years ago. I just think that's a little bit disrespectful. I don't really care about the strength of schedule, but Oregon has to come out and prove that against USC and Stanford that they're a better team than Notre Dame, because people will be looking at that results. I don't know if the computers evaluate that, but
the computers have Oregon rated 6th, and they have Notre Dame ranked 1st. So, I mean, the computers are giving Notre Dame a lot of love right now. But, yeah, I keep going. You're making a good point.
Oh, well, I just think USC, they might want to come out and prove that they are a better team than they've shown. But I think Oregon just, the motivation has to be there. I think they have to come out and prove it. And I think they will, because I just don't see this as being a trap game for them. I think they're going to be prepared well. And under Chip Kelly, Oregon really hasn't come out in laid eggs. They come out every week and they look like their normal self. So I just expect this week to be the same.
I want to broaden this out a tiny bit just because it's hard for me to really judge this game, I think, fairly. Looking at USC from the outside, I think we've given Lane Kiffin a bit of a pass for the last two seasons, having no bowl eligibility. They've lost some games without depth, without acquiring key players in recruiting. I think if USC struggles more this season, Lane Kiffin might be losing his job. If you look at USC's schedule, they play Oregon this weekend. I think it would take a lot for them to win. They're going to play Notre Dame later in the season. Let's say somehow they win that game. They still have to play Oregon again in the championship game of the Pac-12. They're looking at 4 or 5 losses this season. I don't think Kiffin can survive that.
Well, that's even assuming that they do make it to
That's true.
Because I'm not that familiar with the Pac-12 South. I know Oregon has not Oregon.
Well, and their game
UCLA
against
has one loss to this point. Is that correct? In the Pac-12 or two losses in the Pac-12?
It's 2 losses in the Pac-12. They're tied with USC. That game will mean something. That game will mean a lot to both teams.
So, I mean, they're not necessarily just a shoo-in, because if they lose this game, they'll have 3 losses, and they'll have the ability to beat UCLA and have the tiebreaker. And who knows that UCLA will still have 2 losses in the Pac-12 to that point.
And UCLA plays Arizona this weekend. That could actually determine a lot of the Pac-12 South as well. Because Arizona already has the tiebreaker over SC, even with 3 Pac-12 losses. Let's move on. Really quick, Hefe, if you had to make a prediction, if you were forced to pick LSU or USC to upset this weekend, which would you pick?
I'm more comfortable with LSU at this point. I think that's going to be a low-scoring game, so that there will be less margin for error for Alabama. I think that with Oregon and USC, we're looking at more of a high-powered offenses going off, and I just think that Oregon will just outshine USC. And I see Oregon honestly winning by 20 points in this one. I don't see USC being competitive. They're just not the team that we thought they were. I don't know. I'm not familiar if they've had. I know that their center was injured early in the year. I'm not aware if he's back or not.
But yeah.
They're just, to me, they have not been impressive, and I just don't think they're. What would you say?
I would give it to LSU. I don't really think either is going to win this weekend, but gun to my head, I would definitely pick LSU because they have a defense, and I don't think USC does. It's just simple as that for me. You already brought up Notre Dame. I'm kind of tired of talking about them, but I wanted to give you the avenue to, you know, let off some steam, maybe let us know what you think about Notre Dame anymore.
Well, if I had to choose 3 teams that are my least favorite of all time, it'd be easy to say Michigan, Notre Dame, and Ohio State. Those teams
are all tied together.
But I could also say that if you had to ask me truly deep down who are my 3 least favorite teams, you know, because I have family that roots for Michigan, it's hard for me to truly hate them, even though I pretty much do hate them. But at times, I'm willing to say that Notre Dame is my 1st least favorite team, my 2nd least favorite team, and my 3rd least favorite team. And the last 2 years has not helped the situation. I must admit they have an impressive defense.
Which is weird for a Brian Kelly coach team.
Yes.
So keep going.
They have a dominant defensive line with a lot of speed and a lot of athleticism. Monte Teo, I don't probably just completely butchered that name. But people are talking about him as if though he is a Heisman candidate. I mean, it's probably never going to happen. But, you know, they've been impressive. I don't know if they'll be able to go undefeated, but it's impressive that they've beat Stanford. They beat Oklahoma, and they scored 20 points against Michigan State, which a lot of people probably don't put a lot of stock into, but Michigan State has been a top five scoring team, and the closest team that's come to them has been Ohio State, and Brexton Miller has been playing well and leading that Urban Meyer offense that's been successful in the past. So I think their defense is pretty good.
I agree with that. I don't see Notre Dame finishing the season undefeated. I'm just going to say that. We'll move on. Well, you brought it up. Go ahead. I want you to defend your Big Ten. I want you to defend it because I have not been able to even sit through a Big Ten game this year.
Yes.
It's not easy.
I really am not interested in defending the Big Ten because as a Michigan State fan, I usually try to attempt to watch it, and it's been pitiful. And after the Notre Dame loss, it's like, wow, our offense is truly horrible. And they were disappointing. And I believe after the Notre Dame, like, they had a game against Eastern Michigan where I'm like, oh, I want to see how they can rebound from that. And they were losing into the fourth quarter against Eastern Michigan. The only reason they won is because
they're... Is Eastern Michigan a D2 school or are they D1?
I believe they're D1. Okay. But they had lost to Minnesota, I believe, 48-10.
Okay.
And they were losing into the fourth quarter, but their Michigan State's running back ran for like 253 yards and scored a couple touchdowns, which is the only reason they won. And even despite that, I still thought the Big Ten was so horrible that Michigan State would still have a chance. And they really have, except for they just haven't won the close games. So Michigan State, one of the worst teams they've had in a couple years, mainly because of the offense, but they're still right there with any other Big Ten team. No one
with a chance to
win.
Yeah,
I mean, Ohio State, which I guess they're ineligible. They might be ranked as a top 10 team, but don't believe it. That's a bunch of bull. They're not that good of a team.
Well, I was going to ask you, have you seen Ohio State play this season? I've seen a little bit. They look almost like they could pull off something in a bowl game, but are they just playing really bad competition right now? Because they're undefeated.
I think it's really bad competition. The one competent offense or defense they faced is Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to move the ball somewhat successfully. Michigan State just focused on making Brexton Miller throw the ball. They focused on not allowing them the big play. And, you know, Brexton Miller coughed up the ball a couple times. And remember last week they almost lost to Purdue, who, you know, they've shown flashes, but they've shown to be really inconsistent as well. So there's really no good teams in the Big Ten. It's indefensible, and it's really a shame. I think they'll rebound. I don't think this is – I know they've had some bad bowl records in past years, but, you know, Wisconsin was competitive with Oregon in the Rose Bowl last year, and even though they didn't win,
it was a close game. It was a 7-point game.
The best teams in the Big Ten are still pretty competitive, with the exception they're not going to compete with a superior athletic team and a superior dominant team as in Alabama or LSU, which they can just come in and bully. And I would rank Oregon in the elite right now. I mean, I really am hoping you probably don't want to see Alabama in the championship, but I would like to see so I know, you know, what Alabama would be able to, if they could contain that defense, because no one really has shown that yet. But
you know, actually, this is going to surprise you, I think. I would love for Oregon to play Alabama in the title game. If Oregon were to win that game, there would be no more questions. It would actually cement.
What if it meant that Chip Kelly was gone?
Chip Kelly's gone anyway.
You believe so?
I mean, he took the Tampa Bay job last year and then the last second decided not to because he wanted to win a national championship. The second he wins one, he's gone, and I don't want him to leave without getting one. So this is it. I'm thinking this is the year.
Yes.
He has a replacement in place, and so all systems are go for him to go coach the Cleveland Browns.
And I don't know if we have time for this, but what is your opinion on Chip Kelly in terms of NFL pros? Success?
Actually, I've thought about this a lot. What Chip Kelly has done in Oregon, very, very often people simulate him with just speed and the quick offense. Chip Kelly is really good at coaching what he has. And in Oregon, he realized that he wasn't in a huge, really popular football place. It's not like people come to Oregon to play football like they do Alabama. But Oregon had something that most teams don't have, and that's the ability to let their players do track at Tracktown USA. And they had the ability to have Nike right there and to have cool uniforms and stuff. And he just used what he had to create a program. If he went to the NFL, I doubt you would see the same run-and-gun style. It would turn into he would coach the players he has. And he would, you know, he would go after players he wants, but he could coach, I think, at any level doing any different type of thing. In New Hampshire, the place he coached before Oregon, they didn't run this offense. They ran a pro-style offense. I don't think that'd be a problem.
Okay.
There, I got off my little, get off my little pedestal there.
I don't know if that's come up in previous podcasts.
No, it hasn't. I've been saving it.
I thought you should have your opportunity.
Thank you. Do you have any opinion on the Heisman right now? I've been kind of disappointed this year that there aren't, like, I don't even know if they had the vote right now, if there'd be a top five. Colin Klein seems to be the choice right now, a tentative pick, with Monte Teo in there. And then beyond that, it's pretty open-ended, kind of waiting for maybe A.J. McCarron to run away with it. Thoughts?
To me, it's no one's really shined like last year. It was really interesting last year when you had Andrew Luck, you had RG3. I thought Monty Ball was someone that I thought should have been right up there with him.
Very good running back.
Yes, but has been less impressive this year, and I don't know how much of that is having had the concussion before the season. I think part of it is they've had such an athletic, a dominant offensive line that has opened holes, so it's probably, maybe it's a good thing they didn't win. But this year, I don't really have that much intrigue. I guess I would say Colin Klein has to be the hands-on pick because without him, Kansas State, I see being a very mediocre team, and I just think he elevates them. And the thing that's been impressive is that he's done it mostly with his legs, but in the past couple games, he's had to incorporate his arm, and he's been throwing at a 70% completion. And he's kind of a Tim Tebow type of guy where you don't really see him being successful in the NFL. I mean, maybe I'm wrong about that.
Oh, no, that's fine.
But
I simulate him with a Cam Newton type, very big, yes. Just very big body, and I think in the end of the Heisman, if Kansas State maybe going with one loss or no losses, story will triumph over anything else. He was a two-star wide receiver recruit for Kansas State and is now maybe the top quarterback in the country. If he can finish the season well, I think it's his to run away with. As far as other candidates that will come up, Oregon, DeAnthony Thomas gets a lot of love, but it's definitely Kenyon Barner for me as far as just a workload running back, guy that's getting a lot of not getting a lot of touches because he's only played half a game pretty much all season, and his numbers are ridiculous. I think Marquise Lee, the wide receiver from USC, will at least get invited to New York. He looks absolutely amazing, set all sorts of school records last week against Arizona with over 300 yards receiving. That's pretty insane. Any thoughts?
Yes. In terms, I'm sure the audience is Northwest minded. So my comments on Kenyon Barner or DeAnthony Thomas is the thing that they have to fight is the perception that any running back at Oregon is going to be plugged in there. He's going to be successful because of the scheme, because of Chip Kelly's system that has proven. You know, how much do you know? Is this attributable that you know they're just have amazing speed, amazing athletic ability, because LaMichael James, you know, he was a Heisman candidate, but he didn't have the ability to win. And I don't know, I haven't watched Oregon as closely as you have, but yeah. I would say LaMichael James, I thought, should have won it a year or two ago, but wasn't really given that opportunity, and it's hard for people to look at him, and I think from a national perspective to go, wow, he's really impressive, and it's just hard to say how much is that the running back and how much is that the system. But
it's definitely something, you know, to consider. LaMichael James, they seem to be, you know, crushing them out there, which makes me think in the future that Marcus Mariota, the quarterback, if he can put up some crazy numbers in the future, he'll be looked at as a Heisman candidate. We're going to move into Pac-12 thoughts quickly here, but first I just want to point this out that I found this on the interwebs. I think it was Pat 40 of Yahoo Sports. I want to give him credit for finding this, but if the national championship were played today, if it was Alabama versus Oregon on a neutral field, Alabama would be favored by 3 points. But if Alabama played Notre Dame on a neutral field right now, Alabama would be favored by 13 points. And I know that Vegas knows that Oregon's better. The coaches and the AP poll know Oregon's better. But I think if Notre Dame runs the table, ESPN will make sure that happens. And that scares me.
But yeah, the four-letter network is definitely an evil empire. I think they've proven that over in overtime again. I mean,
yeah,
we all miss what I mean. RIP SportsCenter used to show highlights, and now it's just a bunch of idiots running their their mouth, and it's
don't get me started. I'm not even going to get started.
I mean, that's what sports talk radio is for. That's why we're here, and that's great. But you know, it's a lot easier to run your mouth if you've seen some of the highlights, which
we don't get to do anymore.
You don't get that opportunity as much.
That's great. Well, Brother Hefe, thank you so much for being on the show. We're going to try and do this a little bit more often, get you in here for some NFL thoughts and some more college football.
Yes.
Enjoy East Lansing this weekend.
You don't want my basketball talk?
Well, what do you have to say about Tom Izzo? Do you have any words of advice for him or any threats?
No, I just would love to say I love you, Tom Izzo. I'm excited to see you guys play St. Cloud State this weekend.
Are you going to that game, too?
Yes, I'm
hoping. You're doubling up.
I'm hoping Nick's goes for 40 and 20, because that would make me about as happy as possible. I'm trying to see.
There you go.
I'm trying to see Nick's bring the ball up the court every single play.
Do you see a Final Four in Michigan State's future this year?
This year? No.
Okay.
There's been some talk about them recruiting
LeBron.
Jabari Parker, I believe his name
is.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
He's the number one recruit.
Yeah. He was a Sports Illustrated cover last spring.
Yeah, and I think they have someone in Gary Harris that was a big recruit that they got this year. I'm excited to see what he'll do. And maybe if they got a number one recruit, Tom Izzo would get his second championship, which I've been hoping for. But
That'd be great.
Yes.
Jeff, thank you so much for joining us.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, be safe, everyone.
I hope, unlike myself, I hope you make it to Chipotle and get there.
Yeah, what a huge mistake.
Yeah.
I wonder when they close.
Sometimes when I see that line that long, I'm like, I would rather just pay full price and not have to wait in line.
Thanks, everyone. Cheers.
Thanks for listening. You can read more from Jeff Budke at NorthwestSportsBeat.com or follow on Twitter at Jeff Budke.
Cool. Ready to rock?
Yes.
I was able to. I was covering Washington State for the paper for the website last week against Stanford, and Washington State put up a fight. Stanford at home played very poorly, in my opinion. They won 24-17. Washington State had a chance to win it at the end. Wazoo hasn't had a Pac-12 win yet, and Stanford is playing Colorado this weekend. A bit of a snoozer game, and. I'm just touching on these really fast,
yes.
Just kind of give people a look. Colorado looks absolutely abysmal. Even though they beat Washington State, I expect Stanford to roll with that this weekend. I think the two most fun games, aside from Oregon and USC, Arizona will play UCLA. That could actually have a lot to do with the Pac-12 South title and who will represent the South in the Pac-12 title game. I don't know who has a leg up on that. UCLA plays a lot better at home. In spite of their loss to the Beavers there about a month ago. I don't know, do you think Arizona can carry this momentum they have from the USC game for the rest of the season? They're only two and three in Pac-12 games, but with a new coach like Rich Rodriguez, perhaps this is the jumpstart they needed.
Yes, I've been impressed with what Rich Rodriguez has been able to accomplish at Arizona so far. I don't know why, but I'm a big fan of Jim Mora, and I just think he's going to find success at UCLA. Maybe it's the NFL experience. I don't really care that he completely tanked with the Seahawks.
Doesn't bother you too much?
No, he gave Michael Vick an opportunity to be what Michael Vick is, and Andy Reid hasn't done that. So I'm thankful for those 5 years of getting to watch Michael Vick run around and make amazing plays. But
now you being a Michigan State guy, do you dislike Rich Rodriguez, or have you enjoyed
Rich? I love Rich Rodriguez. We beat Michigan 4 years in a row. We should have beat him a fifth year in a row.
So you're a big
Rich
Rod fan.
We botched it up, couldn't score any points, but I'm a big Rich Rodriguez fan. I wish he was still coaching.
If you had to pick in this game, UCLA at home or Arizona on the road, who do you like?
I think it's a fairly evenly matched game, and just because it's at home for UCLA, it's in the Rose Bowl, I'm going to go with UCLA in that one.
Great. I actually, I'm not really sure. I'm excited to watch the game. I'll probably pick Arizona just for fun then, since you went to UCLA. Oregon State and Arizona State, I don't know if you were able to watch any of the Huskies-Oregon State game last weekend. In my opinion, and from what I've talked to with Husky fans, is The Huskies played poorly and got the win anyway, which is something, you know, that's a valuable thing for a young team. But Oregon State, they were undefeated up to that point. Can they recover this weekend against a pretty good Arizona State team? Fortunately, they are at home in Reser Stadium.
I'm unsure, but I would put my money on them this week if I was gambling. Man, I don't know what the spread is. I don't know if I'd bet against the spread, but if I give it to me straight, pick them in college. Pick them. I would take Oregon State in that game. My little brother came to me and he said, because Michigan State was so horrible all year, that he is now an Oregon State fan, and then they lost to UW.
So this is your brother's fault.
Yes. So if there's any Beaver fans out there, you can blame my brother. He lives down in Salem for the moment.
And there you go. You can go attack him.
Yes.